can one say gross routers are more obvious than subtle routers?
I don't think that we better use any term to describe anything like that. It depends on if you like that word and you use it. Because even the very soft voice, can it be heard?
Yes.
Is it not obvious for sati?
Yes, see? If it appears, then it's obvious. Yeah. It may be a loud sound that is very gross, but doesn't appear. And
so it's only one own thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it could be that one could have actually a better understanding of visible object and sound, but without being aware at the time of moments of when
understanding arose. Sitting here, who has the awareness of sound and who has the awareness of visible object? Who knows? In order to say that whether it's often or whether it's less. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know I don't.
See, so it's one's own experience.
Right.
So very anatta.
But that experience could occur and the understanding develop without there being awareness of the exact moments of when...
Right understanding cannot arise without awareness. There must be awareness. Whenever there is right understanding.
What about the knife hand?
So don't mind about whether sati arises or not when there is right understanding, even right now. It can be the beginning of understanding visible object because it's now appearing. Just know that it's a reality, it's a tattoo. There will be less attention to wanting to know because there is understanding that it's just a reality. And it appears only whenever awareness arises. So Panya begins to understand that its real characteristic is just like this, like sound.
And it arises beyond any one's control.
Yeah. Whatever is said is so true when Panya develops.
Yeah.
Someone asked a question. If we talk about visible object just as colour that appears now, in what way is colour desirable or undesirable?
We would like to know exactly whether it's desirable, undesirable, or
doesn't
how come it to be object of clinging.
With sound, okay, it's a little bit more obvious. One could say, just very generally speaking, okay, very loud sound is undesirable perhaps, and sweet voice is desirable sound.
Would you like to experience the lightning?
Right, that's a good example. A good example of undesirable visible objects.
Or flash.
The brightness.
Of cameras.
Yeah. You see that when we are trying so hard to find the example, what about the moment when it arises? No understanding. Mm-hmm. See? But we try so hard to know it. But
what about
when
an
it appears?
Of desirable visible object?
You can think more. Would you like to experience it?
But the flash of cameras, you know, as they not undesirable, because the concept's different.
Stronger than that.
No, that's nothing to do with that undesirable visible object.
You understand visible object, desirable or undesirable.
Sometimes.
At the moment when it arises and there is dosa, you know that that object is undesirable.
Yes.
It may just be something you didn't want to see, but...
Usually.
Speaking generally.
Yeah, speaking generally.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Like when you hear thunder,
if you find
sound,
it unpleasant,
yes, usually.
It's undesirable.
Yes. It's like the elephant fighting.
When we talk about durian. Someone smell a durian and could be revolted by it, when someone else would smell it, then, oh, durian, where is it? I want to have some.
Because that acts as a condition
yes.
for a kusa to like it.
Yes. So
dislike.
Unless one knows at that moment smelling, one doesn't know if it's desirable or undesirable.
That's why the five sense doors, vinyana, accompanied by indifferent feeling. Not like the body.
We know that, for example, if there's pain when we experience the sound, it's a different experience through the body sense, different doorways following each other, one moment of sound, one moment of painful bodily feeling at another moment. What about when the window shakes? Is it the effect of the sound itself?
Like the wind blowing.
Like the wind blowing on it. And is it because of the combination of the kalapa? Is it because of the patawi combined in that sound that the window shakes? But when the ear is hurt, when the sound seems to hurt the ear, then it is the kaya vinyana, so it's quite different. When you touch the table or the microphone or the book, which feels hard, but some are harder than others.
Different kanda. Even its rupa.
But its rupa,
each moment
each
is
different kanda.
Different kanda.
And does it depend on how strong the patawi is, can one say? And, for example, you touch some liquid or you touch a fire and it doesn't feel hard. Is that because other elements, the tejo, other elements are strong and the patawi is not so strong in those kalapas?
Because at that moment, fire is experienced. Or patawi is experienced.
So can one say it just depends on whether the tejo or the patawi is experienced or is it affected by the other elements in the kalapa?
The element itself is different. That's the meaning of kanda, see.
Yes. Is the reason that the element is different because of the effect of the other elements in the kalapa? Also, yes.
Do you have the same taste when there are same kind of food?
We remember as the same.
There are two dishes, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Same recipe, different taste, or same. See, it's like the combination of that which is experienced.
Different each moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
when it's hot and when it's cold, taste is different too.
Mm-hmm.
And for one person it may be a moment of kusala vipaka, a desirable object, and for another maybe
same to all.
Same to all.
But like and dislike is different by accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
Like durian.
Mm-hmm.
So durian for a it's not good. He's right. For Thai, it's good. He's wrong.
Chuha Kanyana doesn't have any nationality at all.
But for example, you said, okay, it's the same for all, but for one person, for example, tasting the chili taste.
And the tasting consciousness.
But even at the moment of tasting, for example, tasting the chili, for one, it might be unpleasant bodily experience, and taste is different, with a different feeling.
Mm.
So it may be the taste and then the unpleasant bodily feeling.
Or the five vinyanas are very honest.
Important. Yes.
Mm.
No bribe.
We were talking this morning about aspects of sila, and I have actually a Patimokkha question. With regard to the bhikkhus, when the Buddha, actually it's not just for the bhikkhus, for anyone, when he talks about the different marvels, he says that when his code of training, when the Patimokkha is known to his disciples, they will not transgress it, and we read that Sotapanna will never transgress the precepts,
five precepts.
So when it says when the code of training is made known to his disciples, they will not transgress it, is it just referring to the five precepts, even though they use the Patimokkha? Because then elsewhere it talks about how if they, including Sotapannas, even including the Aryans, if they transgress the Patimokkha, they will immediately admit it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first case, when it says that they won't transgress it, it just means the five precepts only.
And also the very heavy apatti.
When it's talking about disciples, it's talking about those who are enlightened.
Those
who are enlightened. Here, those who are enlightened. So the bhikkhus, they won't transgress the five precepts and the gross Patimokkha rules, and the others will immediately admit it if they know it.
And being given money or something.
Yes, it says here with regard to sila, the second marvel is that the Sotapannas will not transgress the Patimokkha even for life's sake. But
mm-hmm.
here it's meaning just the worst kind. And on the topic of the Sotapanna, we always read in the suttas that the lower fetters of Sakaya Ditti, Vichikicca and Silabhata Paramasa are eradicated, and only in the commentaries does it talk about macharya stinginess being eradicated and Issa also, I think. Why doesn't it mention it in the fetters that are eradicated in the suttas?
Same group
as Sakaya Ditti, you mean? Or as Ditti?
There is no Sakaya Ditti. It's impossible to have such.
Oh, so it's included.
Can I mention something that comes up in discussion sometimes, and that is in the Buddha's account of his enlightenment, he refers to the time when he went through the ascetic practices, and then he recollected the occasion when he was a child and he attained jhana, sitting under the
tree. By conditions.
By conditions, yeah. And he thought, could this be the way? And he thought it could be the way. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on from there. What is the significance of remembering that incident?
Just by conditions.
I see.
The teaching is just for detachment only, all the way from the very beginning. Mm.
But does it then imply that he had detachment in the childhood experience as well?
One might have very, very splendid experience,
yeah.
But Panya can understand and become detached. Otherwise, there is no other way to become detached from good things and whatever one clings to.
What interested me was the comment about this being the way.
What is the way?
Something to do with remembering the incident when he was a child, and so giving
to
up
the ascetic practices. To be conditioned for further understanding.
Mm. And that incident when he was a child was a jhana, and then later on when he went to the two teachers,
mm-hmm.
that was also jhana that was developed.
Mm-hmm.
In,
yeah.
Any difference between those two kinds of jhana?
That's not enough to become detached. As long as one still think about it as something special. It may be so good to know, but actually it's clinging.
Mm-hmm.
And we are attached to that idea, to know the answer or something like that.
Yes.
I just have a quick question on asavas and anusiyas. This morning we were talking about right understanding with and without taints, tainted or not tainted, and you mentioned this refers to the anusiyas, and then I saw that actually it's the asavas that are referred to. So in this case, is the meaning of asavas the same as the anusiyas?
No. Because you see that anusya cannot be known at all.
No.
But asava
can be. Mm-hmm. So if it's referring to right understanding with asavas and right understanding without asavas, right understanding with asavas means that after the understanding...
anusya as long as it's there.
Anusya as long as it's there.
Mm-hmm. It's a taint.
It's still a taint. Yes. But in the text it's using asavas.
The same, because you see that without anusya there is no asava.
So then when it's mentioning asavas, you mean it's still pointing to the anusyas?
But asava is not anusya, and there cannot be asava without anusya. But no one knows about anusya, but the asava arrives after seeing,
yes.
Even it's unknown.
Yeah, but at the moment of satipatthana, the asavas don't arise.
Otherwise, how can the arahata doesn't have asava anymore? See, since there is no anusya for an arahata, no asava either for him. After seeing and hearing, this is the difference.
So when we're talking about right understanding with asavas, we're saying, okay, because the anusya is still there, after the understanding, the asavas are going to arise, which have to be seen and known. And when it refers to the right understanding without asavas, is it referring just to the
Magga-chita.
The different magga-chitas, mm-hmm. of the
yeah.
different levels where certain asavas mm. have been eradicated? Okay.
Tittasava is eradicated
by the Sotapanna,
but there are still
other asavas.
And anusaya too.
Mm-hmm. So without asavas, it would refer not only to the magga-chitta, for example, the sotapanna, but all the subsequent chittas
mm-hmm.
too.
Right.
Yes, the anusyas are really a very important thing to understand
without
about that day.
No
yeah.
akusala at all.
Right. And also, a lot of things that we don't know about are accounted for by the anusyas, because there's all that accumulated wrong view and dosa and attachment there that may or may not be apparent to us from time to time. But the overall effect of it is, I suppose, accumulated in the sanya.
Sanya is also accumulated.
Can I ask
can one refer to asavas as ever being dormant? Can one say, okay, well, the sotapanna, the asavas haven't been eradicated, so even at moments of kusala, one can only say the anusyas are still there, one can only say the asavas are there when they arise. Is that correct?
Anusya does not arise, but asava arises.
Only arises, yeah. Right. Well, one can talk about the tendency for asavas not yet being
anusya.
But one can also say, talk about the tendency for ditti or the tendency for
anusya.
Anusya is
the latent tendency.
Latent tendency. Asavas are the ones that are rot.
Yeah.
Okay, they arise.
The outflowing.
No matter what you call it, it's there.
It's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
If anusyas never really arise, they become asavas when they arise. So does panya know?
There are conditions when it arises, it is asava and other level. Nivarana, kilesa, sanyojana,
oka,
yoga.
And why all the different terminologies for the same sort of jhana seekers?
Ways of explaining?
Yeah.
Or a reality can have more than one function. It can be flooded, or it can be other things.
Okay. For example, subtle lopa and really gross lopa.
Kun Kukum wanted us to discuss a little more about Brahma Viharas, so I have a Brahma Vihara question on Upekka, the Brahma Vihara Upekka. We read that it's the quieting of resentment and approval, and it fails when there is the worldly indifference or ignorance. Ignorance is the near enemy, and the far enemies are greed and resentment. Now, first of all, the quieting of resentment and approval. Well, obviously, when there's resentment, there's no upekkha. When there is approval, well, often in a day we approve of kusala or we approve when someone says something wisely. Is that approval included, or does it just mean favoritism or special selection of some people or attachment?
Yes, when you are talking about the Brahma Vihara.
Yes. So here, the quieting of approval, does that just mean the quieting of lobha or
dosa?
And dosa, just lobha and dosa.
What do you think about this?
I think
and the near enemy.
Yes, he said.
Are you sure that when you feel indifferent, it's the Brahma Vihara or ignorance?
Oh, I see with it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like I don't mind, I don't care,
right.
I don't help, it's not my business, but actually it's ignorant or ubeka.
No, that's the...
Do you want what kind of tea do you want, I don't mind, or it can just be...
That's because
it's cheating.
Cheating dharma.
Again, looks or seems like that, but actually it's not.
Seems like easy to please.
Mm-hmm. I think that upekkha is the moment when one is steady with understanding of kamma. It's not wavering with lobha or dosa.
One is not swayed by the good or bad fortune that the other person is experiencing.
Or stress about what's happening to someone. Because when we talk about the Brahma Viharas, other people are the object, so is it just appreciating karma as affecting other people or also oneself at that time?
Both.
Both.
Can it be right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See? So that we can understand upekkha better, if there is upekkha at this moment.
But there also could be sympathetic joy at the same time. One.
That is mukita.
Mm. Yes, that could also be a factor that could arise.
But all four can arise.
Yes. We know that our lobha and our dosa arise at every moment, and our lobha, when the object is people, is actually metta. So can one say in that sense metta arises with upekkha?
Yeah,
yes.
Because kusala moment can arise with upekkha or somanasa.
So whenever there's upekkha, in fact there is metta at that moment. So in fact metta arises with all
one
the Brahma
Viharas. One at a time.
So there cannot be metta with upekkha?
It depends on time. occasion, in person and situation.
So it can arise with...
When you give something to someone with metta, you know that it's not lopa.
Yes.
Or when you give with lopa, you know that it's different. Because lopa is the near enemy of metta. If it's not panya, one cannot see the difference.
But my question is, can there be metta at the same moment as upekkha, the Brahma Vihara upekkha?
Usually metta is adosa and upekkha is satra machatata, so they arise together depending on that very moment.
Because we know that tatra machatata and adosa rise with every kusala citta, and when we're talking about the Brahma Vihara as the person as the object, so it seems that
there
metta
must be aloba, adosa and tatra machatata.
Because metta has a different object and upekkha has a different object.
I have to explain about the example for the metta and upekkha. Like when we saw the children falling in the water, if we can help him, we help him. It's metta.
Yes.
But
karuna.
Karuna.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you cannot help, you cannot help, do anything. Upekkha.
That's what you mean. It depends on the
object.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. If
the way of thinking. If one understands the characteristic of equanimity, it can be developed and condition moments of calm. So at those moments, if there's reflection on karma and one knows one cannot help or whatever, it can at that moment be a condition for calm to develop. With this subject, equanimity, the highest stage of rupa jhana can be attained, but not the lowest stage. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Why not the lower stages? Why only the higher stages?
At this moment, do you have metta towards your friends or upekkha?
Metta more often.
Mm-hmm. In order to get over this level, it can be upekkha.
So you mean that without a development of metta first, impossible to...
For jhana.
For jhana.
But in daily life, there can be one of four, depending on situation.
Right. Thank you.